Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you on this day as we'll talk a little bit about what's going on in Hawaii. A lot of the golfers stayed out there. Different island, but the Sony Open and opening round. Good opening round for Jordan Spieth. But we'll get into a little bit of that. Hawaii golf. Continue our fantasy for another for another week while the weather's not so great in different parts of the other 48 states. And that includes, I think, where our good friend Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios is right now. Frank, a little cold and chilly in Nashville today?
This is unbelievable. It's snowing outside. It was 70 degrees yesterday, and it's snowing right now. Not sticking, of course, but, you know, it's just another fun day not to play golf and head for Florida, which I'm going to be doing fairly shortly. So, and playing golf
Frank,
in Florida.
Is the Nashville, is the Bassett family flag at half mast?
Pretty much.
Daughter of Elvis?
Pretty much, yeah. That's
Lisa Marie passed away yesterday. You know, it's pretty terrible.
I just saw her. I mean, I tuned into the Golden Globes only for a few minutes because I wanted to see if the young man who portrayed Elvis in the movie won. And he did, and he showed Lisa Marie and her mother Priscilla. And Lisa looked different. You know, she's whatever. She's had her issues. But, it's very sad.
Since you had a heart attack, and you, of course, spent a lot of time in Memphis.
I did. Met the man.
Oh, that area.
Met the man.
I've never been. Been to Graceland?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been there when he was there. It was pretty neat.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was pretty exciting. He, Ginger Alden, who was his girlfriend at the end, was, the last few years, whatever, was a good friend of mine. She was from Marion, Arkansas, so we knew Ginger. And her old boyfriend was one of my closest friends. So we got invited over to Graceland to hang out and meet Elvis. So it was pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
Pretty cool stuff. Yeah. So it's a sad day. That's a shame. And I guess now Priscilla is in control of that whole ballywick.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a family fortune, I guess.
A lot of money there.
Because she got it. Lisa Marie, when she was 9, her dad died. And she was along with her grandparents, I think, We're kind of the executors of the estate.
Yes, absolutely.
Like at 9, she got this inheritance, and you can imagine how potentially messed up your life can be if you suddenly, your dad is Elvis, tough enough, and then all of a sudden all this other stuff comes at you because his estate puts out, $75 million a year they create in
that or more.
In name and likeness and all the things you get for Elvis.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of crazy money.
And back again, you know, he's bigger than ever, and now it'll be bigger and bigger. So he died at 42. She died at 54. So that's 42 years old. You just don't imagine Elvis dead at 42.
I still remember. I was a freshman in college. I was a freshman in college in 77 when we kind of heard about it. Anyway,
condolences to the family and all that good stuff. But it's golf and it's in Hawaii and it's 80 degrees there.
Nice. Oh,
damn it.
The weather's been spectacular. Jordan Spieth shoots a 64. And he and a few other guys have the lead going into the second round of the Sony Open. So it's going to be another, hopefully, a good week for those guys. We have Steve Johnson joining us here after the break. And we'll talk to Steve about what's going on in his world. I think he's got some things happening. And in the meantime, Frank, if you hear some whining, that's because I'm watching my daughter's dog, Ryder, and he howls a lot. I don't know. So every now and then, if you say the wrong word or I hit the wrong pitch, apparently, it sends him into this, which I probably just did right there.
You shouldn't have done that. Bogey howled in the other room.
I apologize. Yeah.
There he goes.
Apologize ahead of time.
Sounds like he's yawning because he's bored.
I know it does. But it's like he wants my attention, right? I think he wants to go play or something. So we just
want a treat.
Poor guy.
Say treat. See what happens.
Hey, you got a new piece of equipment.
I did. Yeah.
A Stewart
golf trolley. It's really bad cool.
Nice.
X10. It's the follow version. So you just turn it on, you press the follow button, and you start walking down the fairway, and it follows you.
So it's a two-wheel cart, if you will, right?
It's four wheels.
On,
it's got four.
It's four wheels. Okay. Yeah. And it follows you around like kind of wherever you go.
Yeah. And your bag lays at, not like the, you know, you see the push carts that stand up. It lays down more. Huh. It's a cool looking thing. If you go to stewartgolf.com and check it out. And it's neat product and really cool. So I can't wait to get out and use it.
Very nice. Very
and I did well, that. Today, I did not that today. only because it's been raining here so much, and of course my club, Bluegrass Yacht and Country Club, here on it's right on the on Old Hickory Lake here in Nashville, or Hendersonville, I should say. We're a little north of Nashville. It's been wet, and our course drains really well, but it's cart path only all the time, and I've had it with cart path only.
And so this can go anywhere.
You know, it's just really neat. Hellacious technology in this thing, and they're not inexpensive, but it's really cool.
But
really
you got
cool.
a deal, as always.
Yeah, of course.
So there you go.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So I'm going to get the rain cover for it. Now, what does that mean? I'm standing out there in the rain, but my cart and bag is covered. Good. I don't think so. Yeah.
Way to take care of your cart.
Yeah.
Yeah. While you get pneumonia.
And here's the issue with this. Okay, where do I put my Bushnell Wingman speakers? Because I have two. Stereo in the golf cart when I drive, and then where do I put my tumbler? It does have a tumbler attachment, but I have a tumbler with a secondary emergency in case I don't see the cart person.
You need to,
So where do you put that? So I guess you put that in, and the guys I play with, I put it in their cart. They'll drink it. So there goes my vodka and cranberry gone
down the fairway.
Yeah. The Art Selinger golf methodology there, right?
Why not? Yeah. I would do it too. As I was saying, 64 for Spieth, Chris Kirk, and Taylor Montgomery, lesser known guy right there, playing. And it's always a bit of a mix mash of players because you get some Jordan Spieth, but you also get, you know, Brendan Todd,
got an audience.
David Lipsky. This is part of the leaderboard, you know, Ben Griffin. So it depends on who wants to go to Hawaii, right? It's not, especially now, it's changed. We all have talked about this. They all get $500,000 out of pocket money to kind of take care of some expenses.
Yep.
But in the past, and even with this, if you go all the way there and you're caddy and all that, and you don't make the cut, and you're out $10,000 or $15,000.
Are you hurting your dog?
For some people, I can't do anything. Can't do anything. Got to ignore them. Then you're out. So like a lot of people are like, I'm not going to quite go there. Whereas others are like, that's a nice little Hawaii vacation.
Poor motivation.
I don't know what he wants.
Feed that guy. Have you fed him?
You know, I got nothing.
He wants some attention.
He's been taken out. He just wants my attention, Frank. He's a spoiled dog.
Now well,
he's literally got his head is on my leg. Yeah, rider. Nothing.
Dad. Granddad. Oh, you're granddad. That's right. You're granddad.
Holy smokes. All right, let's take a break because we got Steve Johnson chomping at the bit to get in here and talk to us. So we'll talk to Steve Johnson, lifelong almost partner with Hank Haney and a lot of stuff he's got to talk about. So you're listening to Golf Talk America, and Frank and I will be back with Steve Johnson right after this.
Hey, everybody. Green Chef, a new sponsor to Golf Talk America, is joining us, and I have to tell you, the food is phenomenal. The ease of preparation, the quality of the food, and the multiple recipes. You can choose from 30 recipes weekly. You have the option to mix and match everything in their plans, change things around from vegan one day to keto the next, and customize, even swapping protein in any meal that features chicken, beef, or salmon for USDA-certified organic ground beef, USDA-certified organic chicken, and wild-caught, my favorite, sockeye salmon. You can also add chicken or fish to select vegan and veggie recipes. I mean, so you can swap this stuff around and make it anything you want it to be. You don't have to have a prepackaged, canned, one-size-fits-all meal. That's what's important to me. One size doesn't fit all. And with Green Chef, one size is what you're going to have because the portions are properly put together so that you're not going to overeat. But you'll be full when you finish. The recipes feature organic produce, premium proteins, sustainably sourced ingredients, and the 2023 and the food standards that they've done for 2023 are out of sight. Let me tell you, the other night I was tired. I didn't want to mess with cooking. And I said, well, I'll pull out a Green Chef meal. So I grabbed one of the meals and it was salmon, slapped it together in just a few minutes, threw it in, cooked it, sat down, ate it. It was incredible. And again, it's so easy to do that it's just ridiculous. So whether you're going for keto or vegan or you just want ease of preparation, we fully recommend Green Chef. Golf Talk America folks use Green Chef. We love it. And our friends are starting to love it too. So what I want you to do is go to greenchef.com/golfer60. That's GOLFER60. And use code GOLFER60 to get this, 60% off plus free shipping. So you got to do it. I'm telling you, it's the number one meal kit for eating well, and we love Green Chef.
If your company stayed open during COVID, I have some great news for you. Government funds are available to reward companies who stayed open during the challenging time. Now, this is not a loan, and you do not have to pay it back. Your hard work to stay open could qualify you for up to $26,000 per employee at COVIDpayment.com. You heard that correct. Up to $26,000 per employee. This program is complicated, but nobody knows more about it than the tax experts at COVIDpayment.com. You pay nothing up front. They do all the work and share a percentage of the cash they get you. Businesses of all types, including nonprofits and churches, can qualify, including those who took PPP loans. If you have five or more employees, let COVIDpayment.com help get you up to $26,000 per employee. Visit COVIDpayment.com. That's COVIDpayment.com. COVIDpayment.com.
And welcome back to Golf Talk America to Matthews and Frank Bassett.
Hey, live from the kennel.
Live from the kennel, you'll be hearing some dog barking.
The Humane Society, here we go.
Yeah, I know.
Special edition.
I'm kind of locked into my chair here and my headphones, but my daughter and son-in-law's dog is wandering the house, but every now and then, there he is. I opened the door. I've got a patio right off the side here, so I've opened the door so he can come and go. Maybe that's going to keep him happy.
Is it warm in Dallas today?
No, it's chilly this morning, but it's warm enough to let him out. Yeah, I think it's probably only going to...
About 12 degrees, but you put the dog outside? Nice.
Yeah, well, oh please! He's a big, furry dog. He's one of those doodles. He's like an Australian sheepadoodle.
Oh yeah, they're sweet so dogs. Why you beat that dog? That's cruel.
Got plenty of fur. Hey, speaking of plenty of fur, Steve Johnson, managing partner with Hank Haney Golf, join us now. Steve, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, but my voice is not doing good. But you called me out, so I'm here. I want to get you guys straight.
Yeah. Thank you.
Aloha,
Steve. Yeah, aloha.
Yeah. We all wish we were there.
Oh, no kidding.
You ever been to any of those tournaments in Hawaii, Steve?
I have been. I went to caddy for a buddy of mine. Man, this was back in the 80s. I don't even think Hawaii was a state back then when I went there.
You might be right.
But okay. Every time I've been back, my parents, I told the story the other day. We were watching the tournament champions at Kapalua, and I told some of the kids, kids asked me if I'd been there. I said, the first time I went there, this is a God's honest truth. The first time I went there, now I'm from San Diego, so the flight's right. It's the shortest flight you could ever take. It was in a prop plane, believe it or not.
Oh,
propeller
my God.
Plane. I was about 4 years old, 1964, and we flew over to see my uncle and my aunt and uncle and their family, who were stationed in Hawaii. So we went to visit them.
Did you go see the Arizona?
64.
Yep, saw the Arizona.
Wow.
Went up to the Naval Hospital up there. They had every Sunday they had a tremendous buffet. Tim loves his buffet. And we always seem to talk about food, but I mean, they had Alaskan king crab legs and all that. It was beautiful, beautiful.
Nice.
4 year old. So
nice.
Do they not have crab in Hawaii?
Good memory.
Well, I mean, they flew it in, Frank. Come on.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, what are they? What's the big? What fish? What are they?
It's humane to the crab because the Alaskan king crab, you could just snap off a leg and then they grow it back.
Wow, sounds like the NFL.
Yeah,
they can. I don't know what the main fish is. They're mahi mahi or something, right, Frank? Probably.
I would think so. I don't know.
It's a big fish.
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, they're a bunch of fish. They've got to have a lot of tuna out there as well.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Ahi.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Mm. Making me hungry now.
Boy.
Hey, did you watch the first round? What did you think about Jordan?
You know, I was thinking about that on the way in after you called me, Tim. When Jordan Spieth came out on the PGA Tour, I thought, he went to school with my youngest son, a Jesuit. They were buddies. And they were big fans of his. You know, when he was 16, he did really great things at the Byron Nelson, came in 16th place and all that. And I said, you know, guys, I really don't like his game. I don't like his game. I mean, you can't argue that he is a great player. But there were so many things about his game that looked like they needed to get better to sustain himself out on the PGA Tour. Well, then 14 wins later, I mean, the guy's you know, he's a Hall of Famer. But still, he never – I mean, I think that the guys that are the best of the best always make it look easy, and he makes it look so difficult.
He kind of
like,
does.
It's like a three-point shooter. You know what I mean? It's like every – he's got to make 20 three-pointers in order to win. You know,
yeah.
And that's not going to happen all the time.
But that makes him exciting to watch.
Absolutely. And it's also exciting to watch him with Michael Greller explaining. Sure. And his emotions are very external. And I mean, I like the guy as a person. I think he's the most important golfer that the U.S. has right now. I mean, the most important for the game.
Over Thomas?
Yeah. I mean, Thomas is not America's boy. What they call Colton Oast used to call Jordan Spieth the golden child. Yeah, I mean, that's what he is. He is the Arnold Palmer of this generation.
No doubt.
So, I really think he is very, very important. It always looks so difficult when he does it. And
now, I will say this, though, Steve.
I enjoy watching him.
Oh, yeah.
I will say this. When he does the Jordan-esque, which the announcers always go off, right? Usually it's a short game thing. But he's got a chip and he's got a downhill lie and one foot's in a bunker, the other foot's in a creek.
And if he slips, he falls down the ravine.
There's a storm coming. There's all this stuff going on. And he hits this crazy flop that lands just on the fringe and rolls within 6 inches. When he does that stuff, after he's analyzed it and talked to Greller for 2 minutes about doing it all, you are kind of amazed. You are kind of like, wow, he can pull those shots off. But you're absolutely right. He doesn't just step up and swing the club and hits his shots. Everything is an analytical. So you're right in the sense of sometimes you do get a little bit brain tired watching his game because every shot has got angles and things he's got to worry about. And you do worry. Right. You've talked about this, Steve, where when he had his 3-year kind of off time, right, before he could win again, you were saying a lot of times he's got to get out of his head, right? But he can't. I mean, that's kind of his thing is he's always going. And sometimes you just step away and swing the club and do it. And he can't seem to be able to do that.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, you mentioned the shot they showed last week, Tim. They showed this one shot. He was right by the side of the green in the tall grass. He takes a huge swing. The ball pops up about 10 feet in the air, about 3 feet away, rolls down there and goes in the hole. They showed that shot
600 times.
If they showed it a dozen times, they showed it dummy. No, they showed it. But the perception is, wow, this guy's phenomenal. Every shot he hits is the greatest.
Yeah.
But that's why the perception gets skewed, because the shot he hit before that, he was in the bunker.
Right. And didn't get out.
And he hit a bunker shot, and the bunker hit the top of the bunker, and it barely got out. So, you know, they never show that. I mean, I think that's
it's what he is. He's a recovery guy, right? I mean, he hits some goofy shots that makes him then have to hit the,
hero shot.
To get in it.
But I think it means a lot more to a golf fan, especially a golfer. To see if they would have showed the whole package, hey, he hit a terrible shot, then he came right back and he hit a miracle shot. That's more impactful than just, hey, look at this. Jordan Spieth, he held another one out. Yeah, he held it. Yeah. But that's the toughness of Jordan Spieth. I mean, he's mentally so tough.
Well, they make it look on TV like it's unachievable. We can't do what those guys do. And 99% of us can't. There's no doubt.
But every
once in a while, we hit a hero shot. So
sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you kind of think every time in what you're saying, and I totally agree, Steve, and I think we all do, is that Spieth put himself in that bunker. So that was not his aim. So he missed a shot to go in the bunker. Then he comes out of the bunker and barely gets. So there's two bad shots, right?
And
then to save it when they're going, oh, now it's downhill and it's a little line. He's got to hit this. They're hoping he gets within 5 feet and it rolls it in. Well, you're right. Then that's. And I guess because he's so used to getting himself in trouble that he's had to develop over the 20 years of playing golf now, he's had to develop a acute sense of how to hit miracle shots because he's had to do it like his whole life.
And you know better than me, Tim, because you know television. Maybe they couldn't show 20 seconds of the whole picture.
the setup.
They just showed the whole, you know, they just showed the, hey, this is the miracle shot, and isn't he great? And, I mean, some players will get good press and good coverage, and some players will get poor coverage. It's just the way it is. I can remember Bruce Crampton. He's a name from way in the past.
An incredible player.
And he's known as, back in the day, the best player never to win a major. He came in second place 7 times to Jack Nicklaus.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Wow. And
so
just one.
But he showed us his mom sent him his scrapbook. And I mean, when he was a kid, he was getting bad press.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a very, very intense person. And so, you know, when he was in competition, he was very intense. And he didn't draw people to him like Jordan Spieth does. Yeah. And so that's what I'm saying. I mean, like Justin Thomas, you know, not even close.
No.
Not even close in the persona of Jordan Spieth.
Well, part of it too is Justin Thomas is certainly very intense as well, but he also throws the F-bombs. He's had his problems. He's said
he's an only child.
Jordan's like not the guy that, and I'm sure he's had his cussing moments like everybody, but Jordan's not that guy that, at least on camera, that's why you're saying he's like Arnie. He's the golden child. Everything he does is perfect and nice and sweet, and he helps old ladies across the street. Where
that pretty much is him.
Knocks the ladies out of the way so that he can get to his.
Oh, he does. No, no, you know? No, no, no.
I mean, look,
perception.
He's perception.
He's a harder one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like Curtis Strange.
Sure.
I mean,
sure.
He's intense. But okay, let's take another player then. Let's take a contemporary of Jordan Spieth. Scottie Scheffler. Nice kid. You know, quiet. But in an interview, he doesn't say anything. You know what I mean? It's just you've got to have that engaging type of personality, that thoughtfulness of what you're saying. David Duvall had that, but it was just very – it didn't flow naturally like it does with Jordan Spieth. Scottie Scheffler's a phenomenal player, but he's never going to have the persona of a Jordan Spieth. You know, it's just he is the golden child, and it's very important for U.S. golf, for the PGA Tour, for him to be one of the prominent players.
You know, we've talked about coverage and good, positive, negative coverage. Curtis Strange, I mean, you know, when he smarted off to Tiger Woods, good luck with that comment.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
Speaking of coverage, and Tim, of course, you're a broadcaster, what is both of your opinions of the coverage? I'll just step out right now. The first two tournaments of the year, both from Hawaii, it's bordering on boring to me.
Well, go ahead, Steve. What do you think? Have you watched a little bit from the last two events?
I have watched. And, you know, the Golf Channel replays a lot, and I get to see, if I don't see the whole thing in the evening, I'll see it tonight. One thing I do like is I like primetime golf.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of nice. To
occasionally watch a primetime rather than at 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon when typically I'm working. I like that. I like that's one thing about golf that you can never replace in any sport. You can't replace it in track and field. I mean, any other sport is that the course plays a big part of the whole experience of watching a tournament. A lot of these courses you'll never ever see in person. So it's neat to see what courses look like in different parts of the world. I think that's great. They've got a lot of time to fill, Frank. That's one of the reasons the broadcasters need to be prepared to fill in the blanks with stories and you know, little interesting topics and stuff like that. And they don't seem to be able to do that on the Golf Channel. Maybe they don't have a huge staff over there. That's one of the things I like to do when I'm watching a tournament early on, especially, you know, Thursday and Friday, is listen to it on Sirius XM because the guys are painting the picture with words.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm watching it on television, but they're painting the picture. Now, they're not often talking about what I'm looking at on TV, but at least it's like two, it's two different forms of getting a good experience watching that. Yeah.
Well, and in their defense, I guess we have two new players out there as far as the broadcast team for NBC. So, you know,
Well, and they're trying to get younger, right? I mean, yeah. Gary Koch, Gary McCord, no longer. And we saw on CBS that, you know, Faraday was there. Now Faraday's gone. And,
The storytellers are gone right now. So the new guys, Brad Faxon, I guess, is it Brad and the new guys? Who are the two new guys?
Well, you got Trevor Immelman.
Well, Trevor's good. I like Trevor. I think Trevor's pretty good.
Well, I mean, that knocked about 30 years off right there, right? So they're trying to get younger. Smiley Coffin's doing coverage now, right?
Smiley,
former player and friends with all those guys. And he grew up playing with Spieth and Justin, all those guys. And I guess... And maybe Steve, you know better than I would. Did he kind of has he lost his game? Is he kind of a little bit in and out? He's trying to do some broadcasting, but he's still going to maybe try to play, or do you even know? Because Smiley was a known player about 2 or 3 years ago, but did he kind of just lose it all?
He's won on the PGA Tour. Yeah, he totally lost his game. I mean, that's one of the things about the PGA Tour is that if you lose your status, you disappear very quickly. I heard next year. They're going to some instead of 125, they're going to instead of 100 players or something like that, they're going to 70 players that get the elite status or something like that. So I shouldn't even have brought it up because I don't know a lot about
neither do
we bring up stuff we don't know anything about either.
Yeah, I did hear 70. I know I heard 70 somewhere,
really.
So,
really?
Yeah,
I don't know what that is either.
So, yeah,
well, that's certainly going to bolster the LIV Golf Tour.
I think there's also, you know, in back for the broadcast thing, they've got some caddies that have coming in. Remember, until he went back on the bag, we had
you got Bones, and then
Bones was on for a while.
Yeah.
And Colt McCoy, I'm sorry, Colt McCoy, Colt Nost.
Colt McCoy. Yeah,
wrong Colt.
Wrong Colt.
You got John Wood. John Wood used to be Hunter Mahan and El Cheapo Nogimi's caddy, Matt Kuchar.
Yeah. So you're getting caddies involved. So they're trying to get younger. And I give the networks credit, and in long answer to your question, Frank, that they're trying to get younger. Cause I've always had a problem, even though I've gotten older, but I have a problem with these guys that want to, you know, keep broadcasting until they're 97 years, you know, like, okay, at some point move on. And so that's fine that they're kind of,
you're dissing Pat Summerall again,
if you will. Yeah. That they're thinning the herd a little bit,
but
they're getting caddies too.
They're getting some, there's a learning curve.
Yeah.
There, you know,
and a nerve curve.
You know me, Tim. I mean, you were the guy that was at the birth of my radio career. You know, I wasn't very good.
Yeah, you're still not real good.
I knew that was coming. That was such a setup. Steve, you stepped into that one, brother.
God. You're still kind of.
But, I mean, one of the things the old guys could do is they could fill the blanks in.
Yes.
And that's I think that's what Frank is experiencing right now is that, you know what, there's not a lot of guys that can fill in the blanks.
Yeah. Yeah,
When we're going from shot to shot and we're seeing somebody, you know, back away for the fourth time to try to figure out what club they should hit, you know, it's just,
as we talked about, it's, and we've certainly talked broadcasting a lot, but when we talk about, you know, Lance Barrow, former executive producer for CBS for so many years, it's a different animal. You do NFL, you do NBA, you do college basketball, that's a sport that's right in front of you. Everything's happening. Golf is so different from that that if you broadcast and you've got to know what's going on here and here. So, yeah, Stephen, in answer to your production question or part of that is you go to a camera and say, okay, we got Jordan with a great – let's go to Jordan. Well, Jordan backs off. So as soon as you go to him, he decides to go to another club.
Right.
And now you're sitting there in dead time going, oh, my God, now what are you going to do? And he's talking to Greller. It's so hard to control that, right? Because everybody is at a different time is hitting, swinging, putting, drives, and you got to try to coordinate. It's a very challenging production to put a golf tournament on. So I give him credit
There's other sports though, Tim, that are very similar. I think of baseball and Vin Scully filling in the blanks and telling stories and all. I mean, you can't, besides golf, baseball's got to be the second slowest game, you know, because those pitchers back off, the batters back off, but Vin Scully filled in the blanks with neat stories about that we would have never known about the players or the situation or all that. I mean, it takes a lot of research, but he was great at it.
Yeah, he was the greatest of all time, as far as I'm concerned.
I was going to say, you're bringing up kind of the elite of elite when it comes to that. But because otherwise, I'm with you. Baseball, paint drying, right? You're kind of sitting there going, oh my God, how much am I going to watch another guy throw ball three? He gets the ball. You know, I mean, it's, but at least
takes out the mascot.
At least it's all in front of them, right? They kind of know the pacing of it. I'm just saying, when it comes to golf, the pacing is different because when you take this shot and let's say it's Azinger that's commenting and they go to another shot, the guy might be right ready to swing or make a putt or he backs off. You've got different pacing that's going on. And it's a very tough thing to be able to do to know now I got to fill in because he backed off or I've got to quickly talk and get out of the way because he's going to hit his shot. And at least in baseball, it's all right there. It's only one guy with the ball, you know, the whole time.
Right.
So,
yeah. And you have, and by the way, on PGA Tour Radio, though, to go back to that, you have the crew that's out there. I mean, the Albers, the Doug Bells, the Bill Rosinski's, and all of our guys.
Yeah.
They're the old guard of coverage. So you're comparing them against the new guys that are out there that are still probably a little uncomfortable. I know how uncomfortable I was when I first started doing something. I was shadowing Doug Bell, and he was trying to teach me how to do play-by-play. And I was like, I don't want to call that. And Tim, you've done it. You know how hard it is.
I think there could just be more, and I say levity. I don't mean levity as in one, you know, stand-up jokes. But I would like to see there be a little bit more relaxation when they talk. And to your point, Steve, maybe storytelling is the same thing I'm saying, is, you know, have some flavor to it. Have some, and not just, I just don't want to hear, whether it's radio or TV or anything, golf, and say, okay, here's the putt is going. I'm going, yeah, I can either see it or I got you. It's not so. Yeah, it's a rare thing to find somebody who, and I think Colt Knotes has found a little niche, right? They've kind of gone to Colt as a bit of the offbeat guy. So when they do Colt, and they have in Phoenix, which you'll see here pretty soon, that's kind of like tailor made for Colt Knotes because he's an irreverent guy. If you know Colt much at all, he's that guy, right? He'll tell the jokes on the side. He'll do this. And I think maybe that's kind of where they're going. They're saying we gotta, because if you're going to attract 25-year-old Steve's son, you know, my son, to watch golf, and they're 28 years old, you're not going to do it. No offense, but you're not going to do it with the 60-plus announcers that do their old-school thing. You got to get a young guy who kind of relates to them.
Yeah, and change is tough. But, you know, when you compare the PGA Tour broadcast to Sky Sports, PGA Tour, I mean, NBC, ABC, Sky Sports. I mean, they start talking about where they ate dinner and all that stuff. I mean, just stuff that doesn't relate to building a story around the competition. I mean, it's just I mean, the bar is, we set the bar very high because we're used to seeing the best of the best in terms of commentating, storytelling, visual, all that, the shot tracer. I mean, it's, golf has gotten a lot more fun to watch now that you can see what the ball is doing. I think that's one of the biggest improvements I think they've made to the broadcasts.
Totally agree. Remember how rare it used to be? Like every few tournaments, they might show a couple of shots with shot and you'd be like, oh, look at where now they're doing it at every tournament because they said back in the day, it was too expensive, the technology and all the equipment, all that. But now you expect it. You have to see it because you're right. You lose the ball. It's like watching a hockey game and you lose the puck. You're like, okay, who's got it? Where's it going? Well, that's not good for broadcast. And so, I think that is the singular best thing that's happened, I think, in broadcasting of golf in the last 10 years is the shot tracker
and being able to see that
everywhere they're hitting the ball. And another part of that is to see how guys curve balls. So even if they miss a shot, you're going, wow, he went around that tree and then it came back this way or hit her. I think that's so cool. It's a great.
My biggest beef with Sky Sports was always they could never follow the golf ball.
Yeah, they don't, do they?
No, they don't. And you're like, where is it?
You watch the British Open. They hit a ball. It's a widest shot. You can see basically the curvature of the globe. They take such a wide shot. You're looking into outer space, and then they zoom in on the fairway, and somewhere down there is the ball, as if that was good coverage. You're like, oh, well, there you go. It's somewhere on that brown stuff down there. Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, it was
terrible.
Terrible coverage.
Like it's the first time a guy's ever done it. All right, Steve, I know you're under the weather a little bit. We've kind of taken you in overtime here, so we appreciate it.
Well, thanks so much. I thought you guys forgot about me. I'm pleased that you called.
No.
You have a lot.
How's the ranch?
The ranch is good. It looks like I'm bringing in an operating partner. Hopefully we close on the deal today. So
good.
Good for you.
Just say a prayer for me, Tim. Say a prayer.
Good
and
for
then
you.
Got other great things happening. I'll let you know when I can.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're always busy.
That's my
you always
tease.
Get something going.
That's my tease, Tim.
There you go.
Oh, we'll have
leave
you
them wanting more.
I know. We've talked, Steve. You got something happening. We don't know what it is.
We'll talk about it in the next episode.
Steve's opening a bank.
Of Golf Talk America from the kennel.
You've got something going on.
Bang. All right, take care. Nice talking to you guys again. I appreciate it.
Take care. Happy New Year, Steve. Happy New Year, buddy.
Thanks, Frank. Thank you, Frank.
See you, Pat.
Bye-bye. See you, Tim.
Yeah, he's got some allergy issues, and but his voice is okay.
Yeah, it sounded good.
He said he was kind of raspy.
So what is okay. now that we've teased him? What's he doing? What's going on? You know, in the break, you can tell me in the break.
Okay, I'll tell you in the break.
Tell me in the break.
Are we taking a break again?
No, are we?
Oh, no.
I don't want
to.
Do you?
I'll tell you after the show. Yeah. I think we covered a lot. We went from Elvis and Lisa Marie to Gary McCord. Smiley Kaufman. Well,
it's not Gary McCord that's back. It's Gary Koch you were thinking about that was, you know, your friend with Better Than Most.
Well, yeah. Gary Koch and Roger Maltby.
Roger Maltby are the two that let go.
Yeah,
and that's what I was saying. Well, I didn't
McCord
mean
a few years ago.
To cast aspersions upon the guys that we know. We know all these guys, right? We're all basically friends. Not that they're not good. It's just that they're new at it, and they don't have the old stories, and they don't have the smooth, easy intro outro stuff.
I truly think that that there's a entertaining way to broadcast golf. Because if you talk to most non like really into golf
from Chippendale,
you and I will watch a lot, right? Because we love golf.
Yeah,
and the guys that love golf, you'll watch. But ask your wife, your friend who is not into golf, other people.
My wife
be like,
is.
If I want to take a nap, I turn on golf. Well, that's not what you want as a broadcaster. Like, we're not here to put you to
sleep, take a nap,
but oftentimes you do
because you're sitting there with a drink,
and you need some. So you need some flavor that's got to get thrown into it.
Speaking of flavor,
I don't know if that's Colt Nost. But they got some. You got to get something in there, and that's where Live Tour, I think, is saying, okay,
exciting stuff.
We're going to put on, you know, I'm making this, but we're going to wear shorts and so on. We're going to change things. We're just going to turn it on its side a little bit and see if there's a dozen.
Well, they're throwing crap against the wall to see what sticks.
And that's cool.
And that's pretty cool. I was there. Remember, I was in Miami for that final event.
And it was fun.
Had a blast.
Right? Yes.
Had a blast.
And that's what it, because you just, golf can't allow, just like anything, you can't allow the church you go to, Frank. It can't allow all the members to get so old that you don't have any new members coming in and everybody dies off and it's gone.
That's our church. It's getting old.
It's the same thing with broadcasting. You got to get the new, and you, whatever, what's it going to take to get a 25-year-old? Well, God only knows what's going to take to get today's 25-year-olds to do that, but you got to get them in the door, right? You got to get them to watch this stuff, and you can't do it, again, with a bunch of, you know, octogenarian.
Well, yeah, easy for you to say.
Easy for me to say. Doing the broadcast.
Say apocalypse.
So, you know, that's why, yeah. So now you got Trevor. And Trevor's not the youngest of young.
I like Trevor Immelman. He does a good job. And, you know, Mark, his brother, does a really good job on broadcasting too. So,
as I said, my only issue is can we just not have to always have a version of an English-British accent in every broadcast?
Here's your pet peeve. We're going to have meteorologists now calling
golf. You've got to be Welsh or Scottish or Australian. Then, God.
Or drunk.
Oh, you're going to be awesome.
Or drunk. Let's see what's going on at number seven.
I mean, they're just so fascinated with it. That somehow makes them more intelligent talking golf if they.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that part still wears on me. But anyway, we'll see where it all ends up. That's going to be part of the merger talk, I'm saying, for golf. I think because as more and more Colin Morikawa has come along, God rest his soul.
What a meltdown last week.
But as more of those guys come along, they're going to want to be interviewed by and talking about it. So that whole era has got to have a comparable broadcasters that are there with them.
Well, you're going to have to get the managers out of the way. And that's part of the problem is their agents and the tournament officials, the media officials.
Nice.
Well, you need to go through us before you get them. And like, well, how'd you get them when you show up?
I called them. The tournament's over and nobody talked to them. So
open it up and let it flow. You know, they protect the brand so
too much.
To Steve's
point, Jordan Spieth is so polished in every way. I mean, he's obviously a great golfer, but he's also very good at being
good media training. Yeah.
And when they sit there and they say, okay, Jordan, let's just show a few shots. He does a great job of recalling the shots he hit and what he did here. And he has a little quip or a little joke about what Greller told him. I mean, he's very, very good at that. But the other 100 guys out on the golf course aren't. Most of them, you know, no offense to anybody, but Dustin Johnson, great golfer, but he's a dud as an interview. You know, he just, he doesn't have that personality, and that's okay. You can still be, he doesn't want to. And he's like, that's not my job. But Jordan is one of those guys that says, you know what? I not only have my job, but I also can explain things and can talk. There's Charles Barkley's of the world. Those are the guys that, you know, you try to get in front of the camera more often. Jordan probably gets tired of getting interviewed, right? He's like, is there anybody else you want to talk to? And they're like, no, Jordan, we all want to talk to you.
Yep. So, well, we're going to have a tournament. We're going to have something happen in February. Couple of things in February. Three things in February, should say. In Arizona, Super Bowl being one, and then two golf tournaments, the Colligard Classic and the Live Golf event.
That's right.
In Arizona. So I'm probably going to be spending a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks out in Arizona in February. So looks that way. Anyway,
Snowbird. You'll be leaving the snow of Nashville?
Well, Medina called me the other day, our good friend Danny Medina, who's over at, is it Stone Canyon, where they played the match?
It is, Used to be. He's
basically the runs the place, VM, GM, whatever. Anyway, Danny called to wish me a Merry Christmas and all that a few weeks ago, and we talked for a while, and he said, why don't you just come out and stay with us? Careful what you wish for, Danny and Elizabeth. Bassett's moving in.
That's for sure.
Oh, boy. Yeah. But my good friend Roger Sarchet also lives up the road there in Scottsdale. So he wants me to come out. And so we'll be in Tucson and Scottsdale and may even possibly be in the stands at a pretty cool football game. So
that'd be nice.
We're working on it right now.
It's a good month to be in Arizona.
Yeah, well, it's going to be packed. Absolutely packed. So, and then we're going to get down to Amelia and get ready for the Players Championship in March, and that'll be fun. And it's going to be a busy, busy year. And, you know, like I said, next week, whatever, end of the week, I'm taking off for Florida for the PGA show down there.
That's right.
And so that'll be fun and see a bunch of our old friends. And
speaking of PGA, Frank, you know, so the PGA headquarters, not PGA Tour, but PGA
of America
headquarters, moved to Dallas area, Frisco. And it's unbelievable the resort and everything they have going up there and the golf courses and the development happening.
Partnered with Omni, is it? With Omni
Hotels?
Just
announced yesterday. Yeah, Omni. Yeah, they're putting in an 800 room Omni resort or something. And just made an announcement yesterday that across the tollway, if you will, so within, you know, but in the same development property, if
a drive,
they're putting a Universal Studios theme park.
Oh my God, that's too much in one place.
They got like 300 acres.
It's going to turn into Orlando.
They're putting it, well, that's kind of what the, careful what you wish for. These towns like Frisco want development, and they're going to go from, like, in 20 years, they're going to go from 12,000 people to 250,000 people.
Well, that's like this town. That's like Nashville, Tennessee. And everybody loves Nashville. Come on, come visit. Go home. don't stay, because our infrastructure cannot handle it. We are packed right now, and it's tough. And just right outside of my neighborhood here, they're rezoning an area that used to be all just a huge monstrous field with a couple of radio towers that were NPR towers that are no longer used. And it's been sold, and they're going to rezone it and put in condominiums.
So you said you got explosions going.
I'm probably going to be
the way.
My God. I just, you know, the traumatization of my dog and everybody else's pets around here.
My dog.
And it's growth. It's just growth. And
but the dynamite.
We could put in a Top Golf. I'd be happy with that.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Or better yet, Big Shots, because they are part of Invited.
Yeah.
Our good friends and sponsor, our title sponsor, Invited.
Invited,
which we love.
Club Corp, now Invited, and yeah, you're right. That's their little baby.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely, yeah, so. I would love to have it, but that's usually at a club, and we don't have the space at Bluegrass for that. But unless they do away with the marina and get floater balls and throw them out there, and that would piss off half the membership because there are a lot of boats in the Bluegrass marina. So it was fun. We're done. And
play some music. I gotta take my dog for a walk. Apparently,
it sounds like the poor thing's got to go TT.
Watch,
you know?
Watch this, Frank. If I do this, watch. Do
well done, Tim. Responds just like your children did.
Like, I want him to respond. One time he doesn't.
You get us out of here quick. I'm ready to go.
Cross-eyed, like, what are you sounding like?
I gotta go.
You're making fun of me. Hey, Frank mentioned it. Invited. Check him out. Invited.com. Find a club near you and get privileges all over the country at Invited. Great hospitality company. Invited.com. Thanks to Steve Johnson for joining us and giving us his insight into everything. And keep watching. Sony Open will be played this weekend, and get a last chance to look at the beautiful shorelines and skylines and everything of Hawaii at the Sony Open. I can't wait to watch it myself. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for being with us. And remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.